It really is.
We can go over the comprehensive plan, but it is very lengthy. It's 24 pages, and there have been 7 responses, and I have a synopsis of it, but because I don't know names. Okay, I can't. I don't know names.
Was that the survey we got?
Yes, it is the survey.
Yeah, I did mine.
And
I got mine done.
Yeah.
It is so lengthy.
How about Wakefield? I think we did 3. Okay.
Well, it's interesting because the majority of people that where they live versus the poor, they most of them live in Wakefield.
Sure.
I found that very interesting.
We can read and write.
Well, that's another Hallmark moment here. You're on too. But it is so
comprehensive.
What I thought I would do is take the survey results. It would be easier for me to email them out than it would be for me to go through them tonight with you. I have one draft here, but just to cut time, I'll just email everything out to the board members, and as it stands right now, you can see what all that is. We do have Lily and John here to address a couple of questions that did come up from our last month's meeting, and I did email everyone and ask if, because there were some questions that did come up. So they are here actually to address those questions. So I'm going to, if all of you, throw it back to John and Lily to address those questions that we have come up.
Why don't you go ahead, Lily? I'm going to use the bathroom. Well, I knew it would go over better if we stopped at the Dairy Queen before I came here and got everybody pumpkin pie blizzards, but Lily wouldn't go
over. That's because you forgot your wallet.
Lily, great.
We've got 9 questions that Donna sent us earlier this week. And I don't know if everybody knows them. I can just read through them and then answer them, if that's acceptable. These questions, I guess, came from a cross-section of EDC members. And number one was seeking basically background information on the initial proposal. So from Coleman Engineering. And what we did, if some of you recall, we put together a scope of work that was drafted into the contract, and that scope of work was part of the contract. And so I think many members do know what was going on with that. But the final deliverable of this project, we were hoping, would be a list of restorable wetlands within the county. Unfortunately, we didn't really get that. Our final deliverable was a report, basically. That's what we had contracted to give you, a report listing those wetlands. And our report that we submitted last meeting, I wasn't at that, consisted of that, basically. And I think to further that, Lily had some suggestions how to pursue that, and she can get into that, how to go ahead from there. But in essence, that was our final product, the report. Another question was, how many hours were we allocating the contract? Well, the contract was built as a not to exceed $12,500. That's the way it was set up. And that answers number 3. Number 4, I talked to Lily and our environmental people about this concerning the airport overlay and the airport overlay district. Basically, they're asking, did we know about the airport overlay district? And that question, I think, comes from Lily and Dave's initial
initially they came up presentation of the GIS search results on July 10th, and that's when that question came up, how close can we be to the airport?
Correct.
Because a lot of those county sites were pretty close to the airport.
And the county, and of course the county owns a lot of land around the airport. So we were hoping that those lands could be used. A lot of them are wetlands now, as you know, which is kind of a catch-22. You can't use them, but they don't want you to build wetlands on them. And that's the FAA ruling, basically. It's not a DEQ requirement, but their setback is 10,000 feet, which is, you know, almost 2 miles, which is huge, and it's ridiculous. But their setback, that they don't want any wetlands in that area. There's wetlands in that area. They don't want you to create any new wetlands that might bring in birds that would fly up and obviously bother planes. So that was, those can't be used. Mm-hmm. And we were aware of it, but we weren't aware that it was 10,000 feet, and we weren't necessarily thinking that it couldn't be used, so we looked into it and found out you can't. Because that's what came in that. The questions, I guess, basically the next four were all surrounding that, and they may have came from different people, but we presented you that information, I think, a month or two ago, because we were hoping it could be used, and when you do your GIS search, it all came up. It was just generated as part of that search. So we had it anyway, so we presented it to the board, and if it could have been used, it would have been wonderful, because it's county lands, and it wouldn't have cost the county anything, obviously, to acquire the land. The other question was, because of that, how much time did you spend looking into it? Well, we didn't spend any more time looking into it. Again, it was just generated as part of the GIS search. When you do that, all the county lands came up, because that was our first priority, was to look at county lands, so that, again, it wouldn't cost the county any money. As far as any, there wasn't really any time and effort in that. If it was any time, it would have been just printing out maps. I guess then we had another question, basically the same thing. Why did we take all the time and money to identify wetlands around the airport, but then find out we couldn't use them anyway? It was, it really didn't take any more time and money. It wasn't a huge consideration from that standpoint. The rules and regulations, again, were not DEQ, they were FAA, that said, given us a 10,000 foot setback, so the lands were eliminated. The next question, and up to number eight now, was why did we go in the field to look at some of the properties? And some of the properties were private properties we looked at, and these were looked at for restorable wetlands. That was the county lands were for first priority. Restorable wetlands were what we were looking for, and that's the cheapest thing to create a wetland. If we can take a farmer's field and just block up the drainage that they might have put in and restore it to wetlands, doesn't cost you anything. So that would have been wonderful. You can't just look at aerial photos and maps generated by the GIS systems. That's not enough. You got to go out and look at them in the field to make sure that what you're looking at a map is indeed what you want. Certain slopes have to be looked at. If there's over 5% slopes on the land, then it's not going to be suitable to restore wetlands. So that's some of the things we were looking for, and Lily did all of that. Basically, ground truthing is field verification. The last question, and I think you guys all are here probably know about it, the original application to the DEQ, the answer we got from the DEQ was they never received it. And the question here was why they thought that part of our job was just to take that application and continue on. Well, that application was basically for preservation of wetlands on county lands, and that's a great idea, but the DEQ will only allow to use 15% of that towards a wetland mitigation bank. All the rest has to be restorable or newly created wetlands. So, yeah, part of that can be used anyways, all the information generated in the past, but the actual application was never found by DEQ, and so we're not starting from new, but the application process is. So that kind of covered them all, I think, in a real quick nutshell. If you guys have any other questions, specific questions on the report, or if you have any in the future, don't be afraid to call. And if there are specific questions on the wetlands, please talk to Lily. She has much more knowledge than I do. If you have questions on the cost, we billed you, I think, $12,400 roughly.
$12,498.
Okay. Damn it. Another $2. I had a printout. Our software gives us a printout. We put in another $6,300 roughly into it. So, and that's expected on a project like this when you start building a database. When I talked to Donna about that, one thought came to mind, though, is that the county, and maybe part of the comprehensive plan, a lot of the data we generated in GIS layers could be supplied to the county. Right now, our report is basically electronic with PDF files for the maps. The PDF files are prepared in PDF so that anybody can print them out. But we could supply Dick and you guys everything in ArcView. And I'm sure Jim could use that, or we could, at least the county would have it then, and they'd have it for future work. So we can do that. And yeah, we missed Jim yesterday at our little GPS users group. But
yeah, we're under a real...
Oh, it was a beautiful day. It was killing everybody to sit inside, but that went over well. But anyway, if Jim would want to contact Lily, we can get that, and I'm not sure, I'm not that knowledgeable on the ArcView and what would have to be done, but I think we can just copy it and send it to him. So as far as going further from here, unless you have other questions on the report, Lily can answer.
I'm a little confused on that 15% you were talking about.
In the wetland?
Yeah.
In a wetland bank?
Something I can...
Yeah? Well, in a wetland preservation bank, you can...
Wetland
mitigation bank, I'm sorry. When you prepare that to the DEQ for approval, they will allow you to use newly created wetlands, and they don't like them entirely, or restorable wetlands, which they love. If you turn land back into wetlands, that they'd love to see all that you can get, but they will allow you to use a combination of restorable wetlands, the 85%,
okay,
and then 15% can be set aside on county lands to preserve wetlands.
And I should just say there's specific requirements on that preservation too, and it's pretty hard to meet their requirements on the preservation. I mean, they have to be wetlands under imminent danger of loss. They have to be wetlands that are special within the state for certain reasons, and there's, I think, one more requirement. So I just wanted to throw that in there that, you know, it's not necessarily that you
so
can just
while
throw
it's there, it's
existing
not something
wetlands
that's
in.
Easily attainable.
Yeah.
It's
available for
15. The
mm-hmm.
project. They made
yeah.
it restrictive enough, you're going to go the other way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, the only, I wonder on Black River Lake, up there, did you guys deal with the DEQ on that way back when that was reflooded, so to speak?
That's not ours. The lake itself is the DNR.
Okay, the dam.
Yep. They of course the state was dealing with the state, so that always works pretty good.
I don't know if any of that could have been used, though. It makes you wonder.
It's
probably not.
Well, we thought we had some great stuff down.
Right.
Oak Lake.
Right.
And of course with those more restrictive rules, I don't know if they would have been either.
So our next step really is we gotta find some lands we can make into wetlands. That's really what we gotta do.
Yeah, and I guess the way we're suggesting to set it up is to get the lands, get them available, make it as easy as you can for a developer. Maybe if it's county land, log it, get the permit process maybe started. Do maybe some initial work on hydraulics there, water, and then let the developer pay for the actual creation. But
so
make it as easy as you can for them.
What do we think we're going to need? That's the biggest question, though.
Yeah.
I mean, are we all looking for 80 acres, or we need
well,
240 acres to
that
in the bank?
That was covered, speaking for you here somewhat, but
okay.
What we looked at, Neil, was what is the area along US 2 that would probably be developed
yeah.
most, and we
yeah.
have an acreage figure there.
And it was like 240 or 250,
yeah.
I think.
So that should be like our beginning goal.
Right.
Yeah, that would have been max what the
yeah.
map showed.
Okay. But that's what we would need to mitigate it. So we
if
make
all
of
those
US
wetlands
two.
Were lost,
okay.
you would need to create.
And that included the
probably
two ones or whatever the heck the formulas were and all that.
You
other.
Might, well, that was 240, okay, the National Wetlands Inventory maps say there's 240 acres of existing wetlands
in that
corridor.
Corridor.
But if you destroyed all 240 and the ratio is 1 to 1.5, you're going to need, you know,
yeah.
360.
And all of it won't be because they won't go that far
yeah,
back. But
yeah, yeah. But roughly, that
but
gave you something
to
work with.
Yeah.
And most of those sites that are presently usable, except they're missing That's one parts of it. 42 or 43 acres is only 12 acres. That's wetland.
Yeah.
Okay. They need a minimum 16 to 20 acres.
Yeah.
So they're not looking.
So we need enough to cover 2-3 sites to start.
To start, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
if
right.
we
good
can get
point.
That, we'd probably be looking good.
If we could do even 20 to 40 acres, we could get.
How much would
there
be available for restoring?
Start
we don't know. How much would we have to hold on that parcel of mine?
It looks like mostly wetland already to me.
Already.
Yeah.
Continually work on it, but that would be
anything.
Yeah, 20 or 40 acres.
Yeah,
would be plenty.
Yeah,
get somebody.
I got 20.
It was take care of most of the readily available stuff.
Right. What you need is one small success.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the big thing. The big question becomes how do we buy the land?
Well, if it's county land, it becomes easier, obviously, but there are still another option you can go to. We looked at larger farmland, like 40-acre sites. You could look at 10, 20-acre sites. I don't know if we limited to 20-acre. Did we cut it down that far?
We did 10-acre and greater county land, so that would have been like 10 to 20 acres. We eliminated 10-acre to 20-acre private lands because we had like 6,000, so many acres came up we didn't have in the budget to go look at all of those private lands, so we focused on the county lands thinking we'd find something there, and then I don't think we had any 40-acre and greater county land sites, so we had some 20-acre and greater county sites. I mean, an option would be, the three options as I saw it was looking to build something like we're talking about now, and we'd have to work closely with the DEQ because they don't really favor creation, they really favor restoration, but you know, we've got a pretty good case that we really don't have any restorable sites available here, so maybe we could pursue creation on county lands. You know, if maybe there's a bunch of property right next to a, already next to a wetland and there's not a lot of slope, we could just excavate it out and match it right into the existing wetland. It's a possibility. So that'd be one route. The second route would be looking at those 10-acre to 20-acre private lands that we didn't look at. And from what our GIS search turned up, there's probably 700 to 900 acres of private lands in that 10 to 20 acre range that we could ground truth again. You know, are we going to find drained farmlands? Maybe, maybe not. But that's the second option. And then the third option would be the first thing that John said where, you know, you offer up some county lands to developers and you've done some legwork and then they go in and create their own wetland on that property. So there's three options available.
Yeah, one thing might be rather than, you know, if you find farmland that's restorable for wetlands, then you got to either purchase it or maybe you could swap land, you know, with county-owned lands. There's got to be some out there, smaller tracts that could happen to, but then when you deal with just 10-acre sites, you're dealing with more people, and I think it's doable, but maybe that's just part of the solution.
Well, if... Do we have to own it?
No. Well, in the end, who
in
would own the final wetland? Would it be owned by the county?
You want to sell your mitigation credits. That's where you make your money.
Yes, that's right.
There's
that's
a permanent conservation easement on whatever wetland is created. The DEQ will put a permanent conservation easement on it, but whoever the owner is still the owner.
Yeah, you could go either way. But that would be the best way. If the person still owns it, he has a use of the land. He could probably even log it, you know, but he can never drain it.
There might, I'm not sure what restrictions are.
There are probably some.
Right.
I think for the first ones, it would be safer for us to buy it and deed it over to the county and do it that way. That way we know what we're getting and what we're doing, and then we send it over to you guys and sell the when we sell it.
Well, the NRCS does the same thing, and they typically just get easements on them. But they have, in fact, we probably could come up with what they use for their verbiage and, you know, how they swap lands. I'm sure we could get a copy of that.
Yeah, but I don't know if the county's going to swap lands.
Well, I mean, how they purchase.
I mean, swapping is going to be a problem. So either we're going to have to get perpetual easements and figure it out that way, or we're going to have to buy the land.
The conservation easement is a perpetual easement.
Yeah. But either that's the only two options we have, though,
mm-hmm.
is doing that or buying the land and doing it and giving it to the county. The reality is I think it's going to be easier for the first few to buy it and do it
that
way.
I mean, the thing is, the like NRCS will do this wetland restoration creation for people, but what those what they're usually getting, what the like say I owned the property and I got money from NRCS and my land got put into a permanent conservation easement, typically those people are getting like some open water with things, like a wetland scrape, something that's going to bring birds in, something where they're going to have something pretty to look at. And what we would be building isn't necessarily open water. I mean, it's a swamp. It looks like a wetland, and are people going to want to participate in this program if that's what they're getting? People like open water, you know?
Yeah, that's my concern. Yeah. I'm thinking we're going to have to buy it.
Well, you know, actually, NRCS, though, we did a number of conservation easement-type surveys over the years, and that's all farmland, predominantly in lower Michigan, but a few up here. And who's the guy out of Iron Mountain again, Lauren?
Tom Burns.
Tom Burns, yes. We could talk to him. He's the...
I did talk with him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He actually did one out in Irwin Township, out by you here.
Well, and actually two of the sites that our GIS search turned up overlapped with the sites that NRCS already claimed, two of our better sites NRCS already had.
I'd be curious what he's actually doing, but the document he uses is just an easement, you know, a permanent conservation easement. I'm sure we could get a copy of that, too, but...
And he had said that he'd be willing to work with us and share his knowledge on, because he'd looked at a lot of sites to enroll in the NRCS wetland creation restoration program, but things move pretty slow there from what I understand. The last time I talked to him, he said, well, next time I'm up there, I'll talk to some of those landowners and see what they're thinking, and maybe we could figure out what program these landowners might be best suited for. But, you know, I don't think he comes up here every week, per se, but it'd be worth touching base with him again and seeing if he has talked to any of these people or what other ideas he might have. He seemed open and, you know, like he would reciprocate with us.
Well, if he's just creating...
I'm sorry, is he private or is he a government? Well,
he's NRCS,
government.
Right.
Yeah,
USDA.
USDA, National Soil Conservation Service, I think that's what they are.
Natural Resource Conservation Service.
But I'm wondering if there's a duplication of efforts here, if there's any way, probably wouldn't work, but could we somehow tap their wetlands if he's creating them here to put in our county bank? Is there...
Well, if say that there was property owned by a municipality that would qualify.
Yes.
Well, then that would be the valuable asset, right? That property?
Well, yes. Yes, from a wetland bank.
Okay,
yeah.
So the city of Badger's got, what, 170,000, or 170 acres in that Powder Mill River bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so if that qualifies, then it behooves the city to keep it because it's going to be worth something to them.
But is it wetland already?
No, not yet. I mean, it was more of a wetland when there were more beavers. You know, but yeah, it's a river bottom, and the land adjoining it was farmed, you know, and mined on the other side. And now it's just open property. It's been logged.
It might
but
be
if
a
somebody's
going
to buy it and develop it, well, I'd have to look at the qualifications. But to me, we may be able to kill two birds with a stone there. Mm-hmm. Because the city keeps it, they get the value of the credit, and we get our trout creek. I mean, you know. Have you seen it?
No, I know of it.
Okay,
yeah.
But it's... You know, I don't know. It's
get the description of the lily.
Is this north of US 2?
No.
Not part
it's
of
Peterson Mine.
Oh, Peterson Mine. Oh, okay.
Okay, you go.
Sure. On old US 2.
Old US 2. Mm-hmm. And then you just go back upstream to the Harding Road. And they don't quite, I think they're 140 short of the Harding Road that the city owns. But if there's more and more recreational owners, I mean, this seems, if they, I mean, they're going to do this, they're going to do it exactly what this wetlands thing is, that you must have people who bought property like that, and then they just don't want to make the commitment.
On one of those easements many years ago, and the DNR then, he messed me up badly enough. I said, to hell with you and sold it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess the next...
Well, that's a Hallmark moment.
I think at the last meeting, and I wasn't there, but Lily...
112.
Lily attended, and I think you asked us to prepare a cost proposal for the next... for a next step, and we're working on it.
That was at the last meeting, and I know not everyone was there, but at the last meeting, we were asked what would it cost to... not create our own wetlands, but to take some county lands and do some legwork to make them appealing for a developer to come in and buy them and make their own wetlands. That's what we had been asked to do. Now, I'm hearing maybe pursuing a creation type bank on county lands might be what you want to do, so I'm not sure what
our next step is to figure out what the best option is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's our next step.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't want to deliver a proposal on the one without us knowing which way is probably mm-hmm. more feasible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably not the way to go. What was asked from the last meeting. That's my personal opinion.
It might be worthwhile just as kind of fun reading for everyone. On the DEQ website, they have this, it's called the DEQ Wetland Mitigation Banking Handbook. And it's pretty blunt. I mean, it lays out what the requirements are for a bank, and it lays out the differences between restoration, creation, and preservation, and, you know, how they feel about those. They obviously lean more heavily towards restoration. And you can go to the DEQ. You can probably Google, I would Google MDEQ Wetland Mitigation Banking Handbook.
Can we provide a copy?
Sure.
Why don't we
send
just
one to Donna, she can email it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or just send the address out to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got the email. Are you on the email list that's doing this? Yeah, we'll do it. And then we'll go do it.
But that would be good, solid background information to kind of base some decisions on. You know, what are they looking for from us? But it sounds like more thinking needs to be done about which direction to go.
Well, I think I agree, Neil. With Neil, we've got to provide them that enough information so they can make a decision.
Yeah.
Which way do they want to go? We'll do that. We'll give as much information as we can together and try to make a recommendation.
Because I think that's what we need. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels here, in my opinion.
Maybe we should talk. We'll talk to King McGregor again and get a feel for. King and McGregor are counterparts with this who are downstate, and obviously there's a lot more opportunity for wetland banking down there, and they've dealt with the DEQ a lot, had recommended maybe presenting these sites to developers and saying, here, you've got a great site, do it yourself kind of thing. But we'll talk to them a little bit more about if the DEQ would go for creating something up here based on the information we've provided that we really don't have good restorable sites. So.
Who's
we
the
can
primary
more conversation.
DEQ person for the state of Michigan for these?
They're down in the Lansing office. I don't
There's
know what their names
UP
are.
That's really
well, we have wetland people.
In that area.
We have wetland people locally, like Crystal Falls would be our local person, Jim Karen, and then Carrie Gustafson, but he's taking on a little bit more of a regional role now. But those agreements, mitigation banking agreements, go through downstate.
Yeah, it's got to go right
through Lansing. Lansing.
But. That's why we got King and McGregor involved. Those guys are former DEQ employees. One of them was a high ranking, and they can go right in and talk to the guy, whoever the head is now.
Yeah.
But the local guys out of Crystal Falls are great to deal with. They're very good.
Well, we can't make a motion, but we don't have a quorum, but.
Okay.
Well, we'll try to get some more information.
Yeah, just give us the information.
Well, I think what we could do probably is, using our report, just give you a brief summary and tell you this is the direction we think you should go given what we've required for you up to this point.
Yeah.
I mean,
the report last time?
We've got six
copies and a disc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have the disc.
The options are laid out in the report.
Okay.
But we'll...
But we need somebody to...
But we need more information on each option, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have like a copy of this book too.
If you need more, if you can't print them or whatever, just let us know.
I have
a
disc.
I have a disc and that's available copy.
I have a
disc. What else we have here? Is there anything else?
What is our schedule in November? What's we normally do in November? We don't usually. So
November 16th, I think, is the next meeting.
You mean the only one here?
I'm going to be sick that day, yeah.
Regent is slim, fat, and
is that the meeting with God or a coming to Jesus meeting or something?
No, it's starting to
Oh, goodness, I got that one.
Looks like three prints coming together. I never noticed that before.
I got that one.
You know the way you do this? You got to figure this out.
You got it.
Fred Prince. If we could get easements on all that sloppy mud, we'd be in hot heaven.
You know, some of that would be restorable because it was farmland.
It was?
A lot of it
was Yale.
Right on Barber Street. They took in South Bessemer, in WPA, they took out of work miners and they ditched. Hell, that goes all the way up to Stempierre's Hill. That stretch that goes through Prince's.
Yeah.
That creek starts up there and it comes down and goes through these 40s. And across Johnson Road, across Barber, and then goes into Paulson's. It's on some maps. It's Paulson's Creek.
Was that?
Is that the one they channelized? You mean the creek?
Yeah, they got them right now.
Down here, you're talking about?
Okay, right here. See, okay, they call it Selwood, but this thing goes all the way up here to the Stempierre Brothers. Because we started opening that up for Brookville waters. Augustus was here. He looked at that already. He said, that's okay. Do anything you want. It's okay.
But there was some artificial ditching done along that creek?
That is an artificial.
Well, no, it was a spring, a little spring, and they dug it out. They squared it up straight as an arrow.
Channelized it, yeah.
And in this 40, right here, that, where the hell are they going? Oh, Eddie. One of these is Barber Street.
What's the creek that crosses right there, US 2? Is that the same creek that crosses US 2? Well, it would be a different one between Blackjack and Indian Head Road. That one is obviously channelized. That's not the Little Black, is it? There, no.
No, it's part of a creek. Right by Louis.
Well, no, I'm thinking the other side of Bessemer, east of Bessemer. That big ditch. Right. Right.
Yeah, the one that comes out of that Tavish property.
Well, that's the outlet of Sunday Lake.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah.
That was dug by WPA.
Yeah, that sure looks like it there.
You got a slope problem there, though.
Yeah.
The sucker's moving. But Powder Mill Creek, right at US 2, there's a big holding pond.
Yeah.
From the Geneva Mine, I think.
Just north of the highway there?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, I guess if we know the places where there's, it kind of plays into the creation scenario. I mean, we want places that are not wetland right now, but if we know that there's water near the surface here, and this area is not very high, and we know we could excavate it easily, then those are good areas to look at, too. Can we create something adjacent to another wetland? Those would be the best creation scenarios. We know there's water nearby, so we'll probably have it if we excavate over here.
This is privately owned property.
Fred Prince is a man that hates government or something.
Or something.
And he buys up property on a tax sale, but he won't do a damn thing with it. You can't buy it from him. You can't talk to him about it. I don't even know if the guy's alive. It must be 800 years old.
Forest Forever, that's his company.
Is it?
Yeah. I bought one.
Have you?
You're
illegal. Yeah. Well, then, I mean, that's... Because he's got splashed out 40s all over. You know, maybe if he'll give you conservation easements, he wants 40
forever.
Your
last comment may be valid. I don't know if he's alive anymore. Does he come in anymore?
We had contact with him last spring, around March.
his attorney, but...
attorney's still out of...
Neil's.
Yeah, Neil's. Yeah.
Neil'sville and Laura.
I mean, I can find out.
No,
I have
his name is Neil.
Oh.
I got his thing in the
yeah.
office. But Freddie got to be well into the...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I haven't talked to him in a bit, 15 years.
Track him down.
Oh, I got
it. Interesting, man.
I got it.
I have him down.
Yeah, you know, he may very well do something simply because he's
no, just
in the.
If I had to picture what Prince looks like, I'd
picture him. Fred is, you know, his whole program was called Forest Forever. And so he does buy lands. He has segregated his lands, just kept the better hardwood lands. That's what he's done the last 10 years or so. He had a guy by the name of Gus Erdman, a retired research forester out of Marquette, knew most of that for him, and I know Gus real well. We can find out where he is with this stuff and track him down.
Yeah,
see if this stuff is worthwhile to play with.
Yeah.
Boy,
well, that one piece we're talking about, south of off of Barber Street, is to me that's definitely a doable thing.
You got this done, we'd probably re-elect your president.
I got 1 year to go, don't re-elect me.
But that is city-owned down there?
No,
two different parts.
One is Prince. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Can we throw that back to you and you'll check?
Yeah, I'll check on Fred. Oh, I'll give you his name and you can do it.
No, okay. I think if you've already established a rapport with him,
write it down. Write that down.
It's right here.
That's what we're reading about. Write it down.
Don't write it there. It's on fire up there.
All right, you'll get follow up with this. Ray's going to follow up with you, okay?
Oh, yeah, he's going on vacation.
Yeah,
he's
going on vacation. Let me tell you. Anything
else we have to deal with?
Well, quickly here on the fundraising, we're just getting some of those letters out, and now we're getting a few things back. We heard from McKevitt.
Keweenaw.
Iron County Miner, GRB, Bessemer Develop, Bessemer Project, Big Powderhorn, City of Wakefield. So they're just coming in.
Yeah, the City of Bessemer doing anything?
Bessemer Development, Bessemer Projects, come on.
Airport, Wayne Dury, I just passed out some information. I've had Wayne put together finally a package of airport data for us, executive summary of the airport, and things current and future for Wayne. He's done just an excellent job on an executive summary and overview. I've met with Carol Goffnett at Grandview Hospital, had lunch with her, been to Burton Industries and met with Gary Burnett. They have put an addition onto their building there and are looking to complete their infrastructure. They've got $1.5 million contract that they're sitting on, and they're hoping to get going on that pretty quickly. Met with Hardwood Interiors, and he is looking to hire 5 new employees. They are going to undertake pre-finishing of his wood. He has purchased the equipment. We're working with him, Dan Peterson and I. Looks like he's going to be in need of some money, but he's very sound. Met with Michael at Precision Tool. That was an interesting tour and an interesting meeting. We met with Bob Schoenberg today, and that was interesting.
You like him, Neil.
I did share some thoughts with John. Next week, I'll be meeting with Scott Stevens of Ironwood Plastics and Mike Zacharias from Extreme Tool. Basically, the purpose of reaching out to these companies, and Dan Peterson has been going with me to some of them, is to, one, introduce ourselves,
to ask if their needs are being met, what can we do for them, to assess where they're at, and really, very importantly, to thank them for doing business in our community and looking at employer retention and job retention.
Isn't there another contact you got next week with Don Cox? Is that still?
Yes. John Cox and I are meeting next Thursday with a gentleman from Wakefield.
Well, no, he's from White Pine.
White Pine?
Yeah.
And he is looking at building a
recycling center
yeah. in Wakefield Township.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we are meeting with him next
Heavier
Thursday.
Than? It would be cars.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's talking processing, I think he's more than breaking it, condensing it down, and then moving it all on truck. Or this would happen to be on rail right there. Could happen.
Also, we had wanted to approach him on the thought of perhaps looking at picking up some of the trash in Wakefield. He's got trucks to do that.
Well, other towns got trash, just not like that. Well, we got our share, though.
But I sure do, though. But the communication with the township actually is going very well, and I am really excited about that. We are bridging communication gaps with the township.
If that one was to happen, that's still part of that rent zone, and there's some nuances that have been developed in that law now where they could get rekindled for an additional 15 years.
Yeah.
So that could be a big plus.
Well, we'll certainly have more information and I'll kind of keep you in the loop.
I'm supposed to be there.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, well then I don't need to keep you in the loop. You'll be right there with us.
But
who's not going to be there?
Just the three of us.
Okay.
Go. But I didn't get the time.
I'm not sure. He's supposed to, John's supposed to let me know. We'll make sure that you know. Right. It's in the morning, but I'm not sure at this point. Ray's got a situation. We did have a letter from the IRS sent to us. This is the first time that they've made contact with us. I called Ray and said, Ray, I want you present here. It was actually what they referred to as a compliance meeting. It wasn't any type of an audit. They did not look at any paperwork of any kind. Didn't want to see anything. I'll turn it over to Ray.
Well, and just that it was a compliance check, and we didn't know that from the original letter. You know, they were saying they wanted 1099 information and W-2s and all that. But the reality was they didn't want to look at any of that. But during the meeting, it came up that we are contracting with both Donna and
Marla.
And she took a little bit of an exception to that.
Actually, she prickled.
They always do.
She really prickled.
Yeah, she took a little bit of an exception to that. The poor IRS isn't getting all their monies, and that she's never heard of such a thing in the annals of other economic development commissions throughout the UP that she covers. And, you know, I know we've got contracts with them, and we got a determination on it that it just came now of that meeting. And essentially it says that the term employee includes all officers, employees, blah, 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 purposes of Social Security, Medicare, and FICA taxes, and employee status is determined under common law rules, IRC Section 3121, and that's like a list of things that would determine whether somebody's an employee or a contract person. But there was one section in here, and I haven't had a chance to look at it. In the absence of the Section 218 agreement, and I'm not sure if the contracts that we have with Donna and Marla would fall under Section 218.
What is
218? It's a code section, Internal Revenue Code Section 218. But I don't know it off the top of my head. And I wanted to get to it, but it's been kind of hectic, so I didn't get a chance to look at that. But if we come in compliance with Section 218, then I think we're okay. If we don't, I think that there's got to be something maybe to look at in terms of changing the status. They've agreed not to go back anywhere. There's another form that could be filed, an SSA form, where we would get a determination from the Internal Revenue Service on the status of employment. And at this time, they're just not going to do anything. However, in the future, it could come up and they would do an audit on, you know, the employment status of the people. So I throw that out to you guys. And
you're going to read that section 218?
Yeah,
right?
I'm going to look at that. I have that for the...
That's all I care about.
Look at that.
I'm not reading.
She wanted us to fill out this SF-8. This SF-8 form is a form that she had asked Ray and I both to fill out, mail under cover to the IRS. Many questions, I guess, asked, and then they make the determination whether or not we are...
Here's the thing, and you know, once we determine what Section 218 alludes to, then we can make the determination about doing the SSA form. Okay. If we're in compliance under Section 218 with the contracts that we have, then I don't see that there's a problem. At any rate, I was comfortable with the fact that they're not going to be coming to do a an employment tax examination, but they've pretty much given us a shot here that it could happen, so we need to address it.
Well, I'm not
sure.
Yeah. Okay. Jeff goes to jail, eh?
I mean, you're putting Ray behind bars.
Don't have to come drink me while it goes to
hell. Also, I had wanted to bring up, we don't have enough here to even make a quorum on it, but to ask for consideration from the board for a mileage or travel allowance. I am all over the county, and I am attending township meetings, and they are proving beneficial, but it's coming down to the point now where I am really having to pick and choose where I can go. It's becoming extremely expensive. So I would like for you to take it under consideration. I cannot continue to do what I'm doing without some kind of travel or mileage allowance, even with my little card. Mm-hmm.
Did we do something for, what's the name?
No, you can reduce that under.
No.
I'm not so sure to have to do all the traveling.
He traveled quite a bit. I don't have an objection to this. You know, things have changed in the last year as well.
Definitely.
And I understand that. But, you know, the way we approach it or what the dollars are involved. Something I know at a particular point in time we looked at Marla's consideration because she didn't have any idea about the self-employment impact on her contract wages, and we tried to work within those kind of times to adjust to help with that. So whatever we can do with something we work on.
One of the things that when you start reimbursing like that, you want to make sure it's not an employee status, and it works back to what you just read.
Right.
There's
right.
a way to do it.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
No, that's correct, Jim.
Because I think the mileage before was just kept under whatever you do with your 1099 and your expenses as your own.
And that's kind of the way it would work. Normally, anything that would be additional, you know, just goes on the 1099.
Just so we have a structure properly.
Yeah.
Right.
No question.
Well, I would appreciate it if you
were
taken under consideration.
One point I'd like to make. Normally, what we've done is there's business that we need to transact. I don't know what December's meeting date is, but in the past, sometimes we have met early in December.
Yeah, first 2 weeks in December is probably going to be the next one, so we can take a look at that.
That's something
sure.
we should take
figure
a look
out when
at.
We want to do that.
Yeah.
I think we're going to pass.
We do have an
also, it's probably a good time to think about electing new officers, too. This one's been stale.
When did these terms expire? 2 years.
Actually, it should have been, what, 2 years ago.
Okay.
We did have that
for you.
What did you say? Usually September or October.
Yeah.
I thought these are 3 years ago.
Yeah.
12 years? Huh? What did you say, 12 years?
Yeah.
Well, we can make them.
Yeah.
No,
12 years present.
I think we've done that with this one. You snuck out with 2 years, bugger.
You're gracious.
Two terms, didn't
you? Huh?
You're gracious. 2 years longer because we were without
the rest. Nobody brought it up.
We're going to head out if you guys don't need us anymore. Unless you want to nominate Lily for something.
No, no.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very
much.
Anything else except I've received a letter requesting donation. I know we always get one. And
we have not. We've overlooked you.
What?
And we always get one. And
we will make sure we do that.
Unless they just haven't received it.
Well,
maybe.
Never know. I'll look at the list.
Trust me, it'll go out tomorrow. First thing. We won't overlook that, John.
Okay.
You'll get it personally in your attention tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? If he nails up, that must mean that.
When do you want to do the December date?
Check with the send an email out to all the members
and
ask them what they can make.
Yeah. And it's got to be the 4th, 11th, or 18th.
I would say probably the 11th.
Is getting just tight. Yeah.
The 11th is probably when I'd shoot for it, but I'd send an email out and ask if they can make it.
Mm-hmm. So if you give them a choice of one or two, then it works better.
Yeah, just tell me one.
Speaking of November, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the day before,
we're going to have it on the
11th. I mean,
that's a change I can make.
Well,